Good morning, my brothers and sisters. Welcome to the last page of the Bible. That is season 27, episode 88 in Revelation. We're literally on the last page of the Bible. So did you ever read a book and glance back at the last page to see how it ends? And if you did that here and have not read any of the rest of the New Testament, you would have a blessing that would change your life forever if you took it to heart. That's how important this last page is. So many of you have walked every page of the New Testament with me and with God, hopefully. So let's attack this last page as if we've heard nothing so far. Let's open it and be surprised and wonder and be awed by it. So let's jump to it. Here's what you'd hear if you turn to the last page of the Bible. This is Revelation chapter 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit in each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. So the first thing we would encounter would be an angel. So we have this angel tour guide who's showing us this prophecy. He's showing us the future. He's showing what heaven is going to be like. And there we're going to find this river of water, kind of. It's also a river of life. It's described as this crystal water. And we are sort of familiar with rivers, but this one has a bit of a difference to it. And one way is that it flows in one direction from the throne of God and from the throne of the Lamb. So it's sourced in God and it only flows in one direction. And where does it go? Well, for those of you who are fans of the Cleveland Cavaliers, Austin Carr, it goes right down Euclid Avenue. It goes right down the middle of the street. And it's not like it's not supposed to go down the middle of this golden street. There's no panic in this outpouring. The river is right where it's supposed to be, doing what it is supposed to do. So what is that? That's the eternal life part of this. So Isaiah 12:3 says, "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." And I think most poignantly, Jesus in John chapter 4 talks to this Samaritan woman, and he's teaching her about eternal life and about eventually about worship. And he says, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to," wait for it, "eternal life." So this kind of river that's sourced in God is important. It's a water river, and it's also a life river. So it's more than a river of water. You cannot live life without water, obviously. And you cannot live eternal life without this river of life sourced from God, sourced from Jesus, one directional from the throne. When does it stop? Never. It's a great picture of this ongoing mercy and rescue and redemption and the unsnatchability of believers, the permanence of the source, the permanence of salvation, the permanence of place, and the permanence of provision. All right, let's talk about the tree of life now. That's another thing you're going to find there. And it's this species of the tree that we've heard about back on the first page of the Bible. Now we hear about it on the last page. In Genesis chapter 2, the tree of life was in the midst of the garden. And in Genesis 3, it says, "Lord, after the curse, God said, 'Behold, man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now let's reach out his hand. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take the tree of life and eat and live forever.'" So even back in Genesis 3, eternality was a feature of the tree of life. Well, now in Revelation chapter 22, in this verse, verse 2, and then in 14, here's 14, "Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life." So now he gives us access to it. So what we didn't enjoy in Eden, this access to the tree of life, in Eden 2.0, i.e. heaven, he does give us access. So this tree of life tells us four things. Number one, it tells us that heaven is going to last forever because we're going to be blessed with eternal life. One distinctive in the second Eden is we have access to this tree of life. So we're going to live forever. The second thing is that heaven is going to be interesting. The tree of life tells me that. So the fruit is new every, it says here every month, but over and over again, the fruit is going to be new and new again. We're never going to tire of eternal life. The leaves are for the healing and health giving. It's going to be a vibrant, exciting, robust, and renewing place. So don't ever say that heaven sounds boring. The tree of life teaches us and tells us that it's not going to be boring. The tree of life says different. All right. Third thing, heaven is going to fix all wrongs with our earth. The tree of life tells me that. So the earth was cursed way back in Genesis chapter 3. And here now in verse 3 of Genesis 22, the last page of the Bible, we learn that no longer will there be anything cursed. The curse of Genesis chapter 3, more than 1,000 pages ago, the curse of Genesis 3 is over. The garden was a hint of God's wanting to be intimate with us, and we messed up, but it's not forever. So the consequences of the punishments that were enacted on the miscreants, Adam and Eve, of the garden are not going to last forever. So the curse really, really, really is over. How do I know? The tree of life tells me that. The fourth thing is that heaven is going to have some of the characteristics of the Garden of Eden. It's a place that's designed for permanence. It's a place that's designed for people. And then here's the thing that blew my mind today is, who did God make Eden for? Well, my answer up till this morning would be, he made it for Adam and Eve. But remember, he was there. He was walking there. He designed it for himself. So the tree of life tells me that heaven is going to have some of those characteristics. The tree of life tells me that. The man is going to be restored to his proper place, which is in the bosom of the Lord. And then we get to see his face. So we are meant to live forever with him in fellowship. And tomorrow we're going to learn about the face of God. So the tree of life tells me four things. It tells me that heaven is going to be interesting. It tells me that heaven is going to last forever. It tells me that heaven is going to fix all wrongs with a curse. And it tells me that we get to be with God. The tree of life tells me all that. Thanks for listening.